Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, March 28th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 86, the third full paragraph, beginning with, in thinking about our day, we're going to read one paragraph ending with, we come to rely upon it. And we're going to read a comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Julie E.B. reading page 164, and Eileen M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, March 27th, 2025, is 22,294 or 22294, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,296 22296. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service. My name is Terry G. from Pensacola, Florida, and a grateful food addict. These are the 12 steps that we took of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Seven, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all their affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity for being service this month. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service in March. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement from moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page 86, third full paragraph, beginning with, and thinking about our day, ending with, we come to rely upon it. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Penny L.C. to please get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. And for me, in my mind, I may outline my day, and yet there will always be the unforeseen challenges that come up. In those moments, my answer used to be self-reliance. Now it gets to be higher power reliance. Today, I take the instruction given to pause and pray for guidance. Then I am promised in recovery that I will have ease by trusting that direction will be there for me. This is followed by a list of further promises outlined in this paragraph. These come as I develop that ongoing interaction with my higher power. When I choose to believe that the knowing will come, I can have faith, have assurance that I will know, I will be aware of my next move. I will choose to seek and follow my intuition as long as I remain humble about receiving it. Yet I see my humility as needing to be connected to my higher power, not only first thing in the morning, but then throughout my day. It's imperative to be staying in touch. I get to have ongoing conversations which allow my thoughts, words, and actions to be in alignment with my higher power and what my higher power would have me be. These actions are given, and when followed, I appreciate being blessed with the conscious contact that results. I know it works, as pausing has kept me from frustrations, resentments, irritations, misunderstandings, regretful comments. And I'm blessed to be able to live life differently with my higher power's guidance. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Penny LC. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. If you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Alex.
This is Julie.
I heard Alex K. I think I heard Eileen M. And I think I heard Julie E. B. I think I heard Charlie Dori, and I think there was more.
Dawn B.
There was, I got you, Dawn.
Charlene G.
Charlene G.
Yes.
Okay.
Ian F.
I've got you, Ian.
Jen P.
Jen G.
I've got Jen P. I didn't hear who was after Jen.
Jen G.
I'm sorry, could you say your name one more time? I'm not catching it.
It's Susan, Stephanie. Hi, Susan G.
Oh, hi, Susan. Hi. It's not,
Rella R.
Rella R.
Eileen M.
I've got you, Eileen. I got you, number two. Yeah, I got you already.
Emily M.
Sorry?
Emily M.
Emily M. Okay. All right, let me go through who I have because I've got quite a list. I've got Alex K., Eileen M., Julie E. B., Charlene G., Dawn B., Ian F., Jen P., Susan G., Rella R., and Emily M. And I didn't capture where anyone is from, except for the people I know where they're from. So please make sure to let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with this list. We're going to go ahead and start with Alex K., followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Stephanie, and everyone for being here. Alex K. in California. Compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. I just love this section, especially the lines, we relax and take it easy, we don't struggle. I sort of made a prayer that includes that really quiets my mind and calms me down. It reminds me of my favorite slogan, Easy Does It, which is my favorite because it reminds me of my higher power, who's always Easy Does It, just opposite of my self-will. And it helps me remember to check in with my higher power, let go of my will, and relax into my higher power's gentle flow. The answer to whatever is going on is always to ask my higher power for guidance, not to try to figure it out on my own. When I'm trying to figure it out, or control, or manage, or force solutions, I'm in self-will, and I lose my serenity because I'm separating myself from my higher power. And when I'm close and connected, I'm at peace, and I feel all is well. Even if there's chaos going on around me, I can feel that. I don't feel the need to try to be in charge and know all the answers. It really simplifies life because all I need to do is connect with my higher power and trust that my higher power will show me the next right thing and give me the courage, strength, and willingness to do it. And it's such a comforting feeling to know that my higher power is always with me and I can always rely on that. And I do more and more, and I do receive inspiration more and more as I grow closer to my higher power each day, and my will becomes more closely aligned with my higher power's will. I just somehow know the best way to go. And that promise, I will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me, is coming true. My higher power does for me what I could never do for myself. So grateful. Thanks, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Next, we've got Eileen M., followed by Julie E. B. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And this reading reminds me of page 13 in Bill's story where, you know, Bill said, I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. That really struck me when we were reading today. And what also jumped out at me was the line, you know, we don't struggle. We relax and take it easy. I mean, wow. You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately because, you know, the word struggle means to fight. So it means not trusting that God is going to provide an answer. And, you know, sometimes I've noticed along over the years that, you know, God doesn't always answer me immediately. And, you know, I've learned to, like, not expect an immediate answer because sometimes, you know, I think that, okay, well, God, you're really taking a long time, so figure this out. And, you know, that's struggling, is trying to do it on my own, trying to come up with the answer. And that's, you know, like what was mentioned, it's self-reliance. I recently was asking for clarity on how to best help a sponsee. And, you know, I wasn't really hearing a clear answer right away. And I kept asking. It took a few days. And it actually, the answer came through, I was reading the big book with another person. And the answer came through, and it was very clear exactly what to do. So, you know, what I've learned over time is that if I relax and trust that help, you know, God, if I've asked for help from my higher power, is I have to trust and believe that help is on the way. So, and I just need to wait patiently for inspiration. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next, we've got Julie E.B., followed by Charlene G. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I am so glad. You know, it's hard to, especially if you're just starting the meetings, to start with step 11. But for me, you know, when I came into this program, food was what I used as my guide to decide, you know, if things were good or bad. When I put the food in my mouth, or when I was stopping myself from putting the food in my mouth, that would tell me if I was happy or sad or scared. I was driven by fear, terrorizing myself, terrifying myself, shaming myself. I just wasn't ever good enough. And it's like I would think I was doing okay, and then I'd take that bite of the food to go, oh, I'm not so good. Well, here in this 11-step morning prayer, I'm learning a very specific and new way that I can try something, and it might be inspired by God or it might be absurd. That is the most freeing thing for me. Like, I try stuff, and I used to stay up all night thinking about stuff and trying to do the right thing and brainstorming and obsessing and, you know, trying to run the show and figure everything out. And now there's like a flow. It's like the difference between flowing down a stream and and just kind of floating on one of those inner tubes. And, you know, you get stuck behind rocks sometimes. You get beached on shore sometimes. But there's kind of a flow to it. And I got that from just, bless you. I got that from just, bless you again. See, some things are absurd. Some things are inspired. I hope those were inspired sneezes for you. But anyway, that's how this program worked for me. It became a kind of a floaty. I did that by getting serious, getting a sponsor, and working the program. Just going through the big book with these meetings. Thanks for your help. Have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. And hey, everyone, if you're not muted and you're not sharing, please hit star one to mute your line so that the speakers are not interrupted as they're sharing. Thank you. So we could have a nice, quiet recording. Next, we've got Charlene G., followed by Dawn B. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Charlene G. from Utah. I always feel such gratitude for all the people that do the service that make this meeting possible, all the work and the love, labor of love that goes on to benefit me in my recovery. The phrase that stood out to me today was on the plane of inspiration. And I thought about that visually, you know, like I came into OA already having what I thought was a belief in a God and prayer and inspiration and to seek inspiration. But when I opened the door and went into the world of OA, that evolved. That whole connection with God evolved. And of course, I was ready to have this experience of recovery because I was so, you know, beaten down by this obsession with food. And this, by this point in step 11, I've already surrendered. I daily surrender and I create an opportunity to receive this inspiration because of the directions that are in this big book. And now I feel like I don't even know what life would be like. I can't even imagine life before OA anymore because it's so customary now for me to have a life where I live to rely on God wholly and I am dependent on Him. And I do it because of the freedom that I've received from setting down these foods that no longer serve me and turning my life and my will over to Him. And that turning over to a God who is my Father, I'm His daughter. He wants me to have peace. He wants me to be happy. And in order for me to have that, I'm stepping into this other realm, this plane, this sphere of walking, guiding, getting guidance, listening to His other people like you who are inspired to say the things that bless me. It's just a beautiful realm. It's just a wonderful thing that has enhanced my spiritual life. And I just can't imagine people walking this earth without the knowledge that Heavenly Father wants to inspire us and with light and truth. And that is what brings me so much joy and so much peace. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Charlene G. from Utah. Next, we've got Dawn B., followed by Ian F. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. I love this paragraph. So this tells me what I am to be doing throughout the day. what my job is. I always thought my job was to get life and other people to be different than they are, to arrange the lights, the scenery, the ballet, try to get life to be different, to be the way that I felt like I needed it to be in my heart so that I could feel better. And my real job, as this paragraph tells me, is to seek God's will, God's way, and to do it. That's my only job. And the other day, you know, all these activities, all these stressors started to come into my mind, and I'm like, wait a second, I don't have to do any of that. All I have to do is stay in the moment and ask God, pause and ask God, how would you have me handle this one, God? What would you have me say? Help me to see the situation more like you see it, God. Help me to see this other person more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. Help me to see my children, God, more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. Help me to see the situation, God, from your perspective. And when I do that, and even when I say those things to you now, my whole body just relaxes. I get to relax. I get to take it easy. I don't need to struggle. My job is not to get life to be different than it is. My job is to just listen for God throughout the day. How would you have me handle this one, God? What would you have me say? May your will be my only goal. May your will be done, not mine. And that is just a beautiful way to live. And when I do that, I experience a peace that is not dependent on circumstances. I am set free to be able to be of service. I can see, you know, what I'm grateful for, see all the blessings, because I'm not resisting reality. I'm not struggling. I'm just relaxing. How would you have me handle this one, God? Help me to see this person and love this person more like you do. Help me to see myself more like you see me. Help me to love myself as you would delight in me loving myself, God. Help me to speak the words to myself that you would have me say. Your will be done, not mine. What would infinite love want me to know? Thank you. That's all I have.
Well, thank you so much, Dawn B. from California. And before we get to Ian, I want to remind everybody where we're at in the big book. We're on page 86. We read the third full paragraph beginning with, in thinking about our day, ending with, we come to rely upon it. And we read and we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. So now we'll go to Ian F., followed by Jen P. Good morning, Ian.
Yo, good morning. This is Ian, compulsive overeater out of Indiana. This is awesome. There's so much love in this meeting. I love hearing y'all. I was thinking about this before the meeting started, actually. And, you know, it is a fact of my life that I'm a compulsive overeater. And that makes me an addict. And I love the word addict because it's very general and it can apply to anything. Because while I'm addicted to sugar and flour and binging and purging, I'm also addicted to everything. By which I mean, my personality is addictive. And I bring this up because I have this moralistic voice in my head. You know, when I joined OA, I had this idea that, like, you know, I'm an anorexic and a bulimic. And so if this is a spiritual program, I'm going to be the most spiritual. I'm going to be the most moralistic. That was how I wanted to be. That's what I tried to be. And I've often driven myself crazy trying to be more moralistic, more spiritual, more inspired than other people. You know, and that just doesn't work. And something that I've struggled with the past couple of years. as I've been in recovery and is in college and working, I have trouble focusing on some things, which is partially an outside issue, but there's this voice in my head that says, you should be this way. You should work. You should have this incredible work ethic, and you should be like Kobe Bryant is. I don't know if anybody here knows Kobe Bryant, but basically the idea is like your willpower should conquer all, right? And what this paragraph says is that actually, you know, Prati emotional appeal doesn't work for my relationship to my work ethic or my relationships any better than it did with my food. How many times have I called a fellow and been like, how do you have a healthy romantic relationship? And they've gone, I don't know. Not because they have no experience, but because there's not any one correct way. And oftentimes, I don't get clear answers about these things, even when I do ask God. What tends to happen is that if I'm spiritually fit, if I'm doing all the work I should be doing, I will become incredibly guilty if I do the wrong thing. I'll feel like there's a fire under my ass, and I'll go, ooh, maybe I don't feel like I should be doing this. And it's a very clear indicator that there's something else I should be doing. That happens a lot. It doesn't happen always. And when I don't have a distinctive feeling, sometimes I pause, and when I have to make a decision that I don't have the feeling, I guess, and I live with the consequences, and I learn. You know, but there's no fight because the fighting doesn't work. And that's been my experience pretty universally. So that's what I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Next, we're going to have Jen P. and then Rella R. Susan G. had to pull out of sharing this morning. So again, we'll do Jen P. followed by Rella R. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Jennifer P. from New Jersey. I'm so glad to be here this morning. Thank you for your service. This is just a beautiful, this whole passages are beautiful, and they're so focused on this 11th step, and there's so much attention given to it because the previous paragraph is on awakening, you know, and then it's in thinking about our day. So this isn't a one and done, you know, I awake, I pray, and then I go do my own thing. This is constant throughout the day. And it's telling me in this that, you know, we may not be able to determine which course to take. And of course, in my mind, I say, which course of action do I take? Because action is about performance. And that's how I've lived for so long, about the to-do list. And am I performing? And am I getting everything done as a mother, as an employee? Am I hitting everything there? And, you know, thanks to my wonderful sponsor, as I've gone through the fourth step recently, I've realized that, you know, the to-do list was part of my resentment and fear list. Resentment because I could never feel like I could get it done, and fear because I was afraid if I didn't get it done, I would be incompetent or a failure. And this was based on my finite self, you know, not on infinite God. And today, what I can do is follow the direction of what this says. First, seek God and say, God, what is your will for me today as a mom? I have a 17-year-old and I work in a school. Everything is not going to go according to the plan. And so instead, I can relax. I can show up. I can be present. And this ties into the third step. You know, God, I'm offering myself to you to build with me and to do with me as you will, thou wilt, not as I will, not according to what my list is. And so I'm so grateful, you know, for this program, that there is a way that I don't have to direct the path. God can direct my path. And as God directs my path, God will give me, I don't need to lean on my own understanding. I can lean on God's understanding, and he will make that path clear for me. So today I'm grateful. And when I'm not inspired, because it says it's possible that we're not going to be inspired at all times, I don't have to struggle. I can just simply remember that I have a program and people and fellowship that I can reach out to and say, hey, can I run this by you? And I'll receive the help from my sponsor, or from my fellows. And obviously, most important, from God. Thank you for letting me share. I wish everybody a wonderful day. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jen P. from New Jersey. Next, we've got Rella R., followed by Emily M. Good morning, Rella. Rella, please hit star one to unmute. We cannot hear you. Rella R. Well, Rella, we'll come back to you. Let's go ahead with Emily M. Emily, are you ready?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, and please let us know where you're calling from.
I'm Emily M. from Pennsylvania. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, guys. Pardon me, I am walking my dogs right now, but this was the only meeting I was able to make today, and I just really needed it. The past few days have made it so I haven't been able to attend as many meetings as I wanted to or share on any meeting, and I could definitely feel that building up. I am really grateful for these meetings specifically. I've been able to make them this week, and it's just always so inspiring and a lot of what I need to hear. I'm pretty new to the program. I'm on starting step 4 with a sponsor. So although I'm not all the way to step 11, I think this really holds true for a lot of what I'm thinking about right now. And just slowing down and asking God all the time, not just some of the time, not just when it's convenient, and not when I think I have a better way, just slowing down and asking him what his will would be for me. I would say specifically this week, I felt a lot of decisions have to be boiling up. They were causing me a lot of stress, and while not all of the time, I was able to slow down and be like, wait, what am I supposed to do right now, instead of thinking this is all on me and that this is just my decision. I have someone I can lean on. And then through this program, I have tools to use. And I really realized with these decisions, it was just this circle of them in my head. And I've been having to talk out loud to people so much lately. People have given the advice, when you feel that disturbance, reach out to somebody. And I've been doing that. And I realized with these certain decisions, I have not been reaching out to anybody. I have not spoken to anyone in my life about them. Barely spoken to God about them, and haven't even listed them as one of my disturbances. So I know it's good to talk about. I'm not sure how much time I have left, but I thought this was very good this morning as I'm taking these dogs on a walk that I cannot control at all. They frustrate me so much. And one of the previous speakers on the line this morning really helped to put it in perspective that while I'm walking them, while I'm frustrated with them, I can just see them in a different light, and I can see them through God's eyes, and I can see me and myself through God's eyes, and not all the mistakes I think I've made that led up to this moment of not being able to control these dogs, and that only he can. And maybe if I saw it through his eyes, this would be a lot less of a stressful experience. With that, I'll pass. Thank you everyone so much for being here this morning. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much. Emily M. from Pennsylvania, and I wanted to see if Rella R. was still here and wanted to share. Rella R., if you would like to share, press star 1 to unmute. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get another list of names. We can probably do 3 more, so please let us
Leah
know
A.
your first name.
Sorry. A.
Was that Leah A.?
Leah A.
Aaliyah A.
Brenda A.
Could you repeat your name, please?
Sure. Brenda A.
Brenda A. Okay.
Brenda. Brenda.
Vorenza. Is that
no. Sorry, I have a sore throat. Brenda. B as in boy.
Oh, Brenda. Hey, Brenda, got you.
Hi.
Okay, so sorry. My ears are not working this morning, you guys. I'm trying. And we can get probably one more.
M.
Zoe N.
I heard Ann M. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got Aaliyah A, Brenda A, Ann M. Make sure to let us know where you're calling from. We'll start with Aaliyah, followed by Brenda. Good morning, Aaliyah.
Good morning. My name is Aaliyah A. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in Montreal, Canada. and thank you for everyone's service. So the sentence that stands out for me is, we relax and take it easy. And when I read this in the beginning, it was, and talking to my sponsor, it was really kind of shocking that realizing, really, I can relax? Is that even a thing? Because I was always, you know, brought up to work hard and, you know, struggle in life, and that relaxing was, you know, like a luxury or something that, you know, I shouldn't be doing. And this kind of changed my perspective, and I was really relieved that now I can have a support from my OA fellows, from my higher power. I have tools, and it's possible to relax. It's possible to have peace. I don't have to live in fear all the time, which I've been doing all my life, and turning over to God and seeking God and showing all the miracles, you know, that's been happening in my life, where when I was seeking God, the support was there and the direction was there and so on. So it became really part of my life. And I rely on it today, like it says, right? And I still struggle with relaxing. Sometimes I just want to do things and I have those endless to-do list and so on. Last week, I got a concussion with a whiplash accident, and my doctor said, I cannot do anything. Really, I have to stay in bed and take it easy and so on. And I've struggled the first few days to really do nothing and stop trying to control things or fixing or changing. And I was looking forward to it, saying, okay, this is a good experiment for me to seek God all day, to see what I have, what I can do while, you know, in bed. And this is God's will. So God sends me simple words, simple directions when I sit still and listen to through meditation or through two-way prayer and so on. And this is part of my life now, where I rely on it. I rely on higher power and not on my will. I trust his will. I have faith, you know, and this is work in progress. But now I can be present, mindful for today and accept God's will. So I'm really so grateful for this program that has showed me that relaxing and taking it easy is possible, and that I have a higher power and a program to help me learn how to do this. And, you know, it's progress and not perfection. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. Next, we've got Brenda A., followed by Ann N. And Brenda, let us know where you're calling from. Good morning.
Good morning, Brenda A., New York. Aaliyah, thank you so much for your share and for telling my story. God has been with me, the God I've been running from the past 2 years. The God I never felt that I could ever be worthy of, the God who I thought was punishing. And today in reading, in my morning prayers, in reading for today, it was like a burst of sunshine coming in, because it clearly says, it's not you being in control. It's letting God take care of you. It's letting God direct you. And with my diagnosis, day by day, God has been with me. He's been with me holding my hands. He's been with me comforting me. He's been with me having me step out of self-pity and to think about what could I do to be of service. How can I follow his directions? And I, too, am not a quote-unquote rester. I mean, before being diagnosed, I had a couple of days where I could do nothing but raise my head. I slept more than 12 hours during the day, and that was God. And on Saturday, I got up and I said, oh, no, I have to go for a walk. I have to work out. I haven't worked out. I got dressed, I opened up my back door, and the wind literally blew me back in. And then I heard this gentle voice saying, "You're not well. You have to take care of yourself. Come back inside and rest." The beauty was, I heard him. The beauty was, I am abstinent. I am not dieting. I am becoming spiritually fit one day at a time. Because for me to spread God's message, I have to hear him first. And I am so grateful to all of you. I am so grateful that I don't have to be better than or worse than. Thank you so much for everything you provide. Thank you. And most of all, I thank my higher power that I am letting him in, the most patient.
Hi, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brenda A. from New York. And Ann, we've got 2 minutes. So
That's just perfect. That's fine.
Oh, good.
Yes. Ann M. from Washington State. Just a quick thought on this powerful paragraph, and that is, every single paragraph in the big book reminds me of the attempt to be humble. And I can, humbly say that I can do first step, which is I am powerless. And I was writing in my journal the other day, I am powerless over everything. And then thank you for everything, which is paradoxical because I don't always want to be grateful for everything in my life. The trials, the tribulations, but that is an attitude I'm trying to adopt every single day, is this attitude of, being grateful, attitude of gratitude, and how important that is. If that's the only prayer I have, that's enough. This grateful mind and this grateful way of looking at life and everyone. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ellen,
everybody.
A meeting, but I would love to chat.
Well, thank you, Ann M. And someone is unmuted. If you could please mute star one, please. All righty. Well, that brings us to the end of the meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Julie E.B., can you please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understood God. As you understand God, admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.